Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for Friday, June 8th. I'm Sanka Price, and I'll be your moderator for this program, which finishes today at 1 p.m. Dennis Johnson is our producer, and the first voice you'll hear when you call us at 4341790. You can also participate by contacting us via WhatsApp at 266-4862. There's been a lot happening over the last couple of weeks, and we have a lot to talk about. But I have in the studio with us station manager, Mr. David Ellis, and he's going to have some
few... moderator.
Sorry?
I'm moderator. I don't come here as a station manager.
Moderator David Ellis, he's with us. He's going on holiday, so we're going to have a few parting shots from him. And David, what's on your mind?
Oh, everybody's mind is occupied by what's happening with the economy. And, you know, I'm keen to see what comes out of the mini budget on Monday. I'm also conscious of the fact that we have been through a lot since 2008. But what we haven't had has been major layoffs in this country. From within the public sector. We did have a situation where after 2013, mm-hmm. some 3,000 people went home, and that can be considered a major layoff. Yeah. But the government, the former administration, spoke a lot about its desire to protect jobs. And I also know that in the private sector, we suffered layoffs as well. The question is whether the austerity that we are likely to embark upon will impact on Barbadians in the form of additional layoffs. And, you know, one thing is clear, we cannot escape the difficult situation that we face. I've had a lot of discussion to heard people talking about the decision to publicly announce that Barbados was going to default on debt. And that, I believe, the government needs to address. It needs to talk to us about the difficulty it faced in making that decision. Because I think it would have been obvious that if you make the announcement, then there would have been that criticism that, hey, did you consult with your creditors mm-hmm. before you did that? One argument is that it left creditors upset, and the other one is that if you didn't, if you went to talk to them privately, then they might have taken preemptive action against you. So, but the government itself has to talk.
Yeah, they have to decide that. But one of the things I want to say about that default, you had what? You have $440 million Barbados dollars.
That's the issue.
And you're going into the hard months, because the summer months were considered the hard months. That's why you had Provo help to bring foreign exchange into the country. Your first loan, your first major payment is that Credit Suisse loan, which is $120 million. Now you only have 440, and your first major loan is 120, but you still have to buy oil, to power the country. You still have to buy medicines. You have to still have to buy essential supplies for the country. So The government, I think, and this is not an excuse for the government because they have to explain the situation, but I'm just trying to rationalize it in my head. I'm trying to, and the way I look at it is,
where would they have left your foreign reserves? You had a difficult choice.
You did. They were between a rock and a very hard place. And they took that decision. And I would think that what they really need to do now, and this is why the mini budget is going to be so important, is how they are going to prioritize their spending. Because they would have to look at the budget, and the budget that was passed in March, they would have to look at that and see how they can reorganize the priorities. In other words, we hear already that the constituency councils will be disbanded, and that's for savings of $12 million immediately. So you have to see what other things they will be doing, what other things that they will be cutting out to save money, because if they're thinking in terms of going through with their campaign pledges, one of which is, I think, one of the most immediate things would be the pensions.
Yeah.
And the pensions, that's going to cost you what? It was cost of $20-something million, I think it was. And that was the figure that was said. I'm speaking on the correction here, but that was the figure. It was $20-odd million. You have to find the money for that. And already, I mean, based on what the IMF is saying, one of the things that we have to control is our spending on things like pensions, things like salaries and wages. So that's why it's going to be very interesting to see how the Prime Minister and the Cabinet, they're going to be able to pull off, giving an increase to the public servants as well. So there are going to be some really interesting times ahead.
They're already interesting times.
I find it never a dull moment.
Very intriguing at the moment.
Never a dull moment. And actually, one of the things I found was this report came on one of the newspapers about the International Monetary Fund recommended back in December to Minister of Finance Chris Sinclair. He asked for an assessment to be done, and about the Transport Board, and the International Monetary Fund recommended an overhaul of the operations of the board, and that bus fares should go from $2 to $5 per passenger. We've had Maurice Lee here on a number of occasions saying that really and truly bus fares should are really $7 because the Transport Board is subsidized $5 ahead. So I have Maurice Lee on the line, and let's hear what he has to say about this. Maurice, good morning.
Pleasant morning to you, sir.
Good morning. David is here as well.
Hi, David.
Morning. How are you doing?
I sent you that thing last night, that report last night, because I thought it would be intriguing if we can get some discussion on it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I've been saying for a long time that the privately owned PSBs vis-a-vis Transport Board have a serious separation where bus fares are concerned. And I have been saying, I continue to say, that while the privately owned PSBs collect $2 per passenger for bus fare, the Transport Board gets $9 per passenger. And that's broken down at a 7-to-2 ratio, where the passenger pays $2 and the government provides the other $7 in order to keep the Transport Board going by way of subsidy. Now, this issue with the bus fare that I see surfaced on social media over the last 12 hours or so has essentially put the country in a frenzy, because it seems as though the IMF has indicated that the bus fare should be $5. What that means in principle is that the commuter now will be paying $5 and the government will be paying $4, because the expense of running the Transport Board will still be the $9 per passenger. And I would hasten to say a couple of things. Number one, that increase of bus fare to $5 per passenger, it had nothing to do with having compassion on the privately owned PSVs, because that was targeted at reducing the expenditure or the money that's spent on public transport via the Transport Board. However, I would also hasten to say that given the state of the country's economy and the discussions that we've had, this $5 bus fare issue is, from what I am understanding, is part of a recommendation that was made to Minister Sinclair as far back as October last year. But that never came out in any of the discussions as it relates to the election that we just experienced. I would say that we would have had extensive discussions with the former finance minister, who had agreed that, as far as he was concerned, that bus fare should have been at least $4. We all know that a public service vehicle is a very expensive piece of equipment to maintain, given the amount of kilometers and hours that it does on the road. And with the price of fuel, the way that it is, today, and the price of oil continually increasing on the world market, a lot of that money goes back in the expense of keeping the vehicle on the road. But what I would want to contribute to this discussion and say is that we should all know by now that hardship and challenges lend themselves to creativity. And all the government is required to do right now is to listen to the proposals that can be put forward that will put Barbados in a position where the commuter does not necessarily have to pay this money. But I owe it to the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Transport to have an audience with them so that I could give them a contribution as to how we could alleviate having to put that hardship on the most vulnerable or the people that are actually paying the bus fare. When you look around Barbados, there is a significant wastage of government resources in terms of the real estate that houses the terminals. You have the Cheapside, the Fairchild Street Market, which is right opposite Starcom, and the River Terminal. Those are three massive tracts of land. And those could be creatively used to subsidize public transport in a very powerful way. But as I said, I would like to discuss it with the minister. I spoke with her before she was prime minister, and I put a couple thoughts at her disposal. And I would like to formally put that suggestion on the table because we have sunlight that we could draw from every single day. We also have the wind blowing every day. And those two elements could contribute significantly to the cost of transport. So I don't think we should just jump at the IMF saying carry the bus fare to $5. I'm saying if we listen to the voice of reason, and we also have the government has a lot of materials sitting down at the old sugar factories, laying down idle, that they could significantly transform the appearance of the terminals. We don't even have to use foreign exchange to get those structures up. That could bring in significant revenue for government.
All right, Maurice, thank you. But the thing that we want to emphasize to listeners is that this is just a report. It was prepared last year. It was prepared at the request of the then Minister of Finance, Chris Sinclair. And we are just discussing it. The Motley government has not said that bus fares are going up. I just want to make that absolutely clear.
They haven't. And I will also hasten to say that because a report was given to the former finance minister, that the actual fundamentals of that report will not change because we got a change of government and a change of Minister of Finance. Mm. What it will say is that we expect to hear what the new finance minister's response is going to be because the fundamental of that discussion has not changed. And actually, Barbados' position has gotten worse given the state of our reserves.
True. Now, the one thing that, because there are a number of things, there are a number of ideas that you've just brought out, some of which you discussed with me. So since you want to speak to the minister, I'll say nothing more. But the one thing that you've always spoken about publicly is about duty-free concessions. Would that be one of your solutions to actually reducing the cost of providing this service, the PSV service, to the public?
Duty-free concessions was significantly reduced the cost of transport, and I'll tell you how. New vehicles use less fuel because the engines are more fuel efficient. They require less maintenance, and therefore, because the maintenance factor is reduced, you will have a situation where you're using less fuel and importing less parts. The fuel and the parts require foreign exchange because we don't make none of the two things here in Barbados. And I'm saying you'll get additional hours out of new vehicles, you'll get reduced fuel usage out of new vehicles, and essentially, when you consider looking at it from that perspective, duty-free concessions should have been on the table 25 years ago. All this right. is an outstanding issue.
you have dealt with here ad nauseum with us. But what I'm also thinking about immediately, in other words, what we can do right now, one of the things that I'm looking at is the whole scheduling of PSVs along with the transport board. The transport authority has had an integrated project, but you know, I've seen how this works in other islands where there's no national transport system. And I'm just saying, this is the one thing that can be done right now, and it would not cost a cent. It just needs some sort of discipline and a commitment to do it.
Well, a former economist got thrown under the bus recently for saying that the government doesn't have to own a bus to become involved.
He's still an economist, man. He's the minister in the Ministry of Finance.
I didn't want to call on the names.
You can call on him.
But essentially, the point that he made is worth considering, because if the private sector could provide $2 transport, and the government is providing transport and needs $9 to provide this transport, what the government needs to do is invest in bring the industry to discipline. Because you have a situation right now where it's well known all over the island. You have several PSVs on certain routes to the extent that those routes are oversupplied. But yet you got people from St. George, St. Joseph, St. Peter, St. John, sitting at the transport board terminal for 4 hours waiting on a bus. I am saying the government has wasted a lot of money because they have separated the state-owned operation of transport from the privately-owned operation of transport. If the PSVs could be rerouted so that they could assist in getting these people to and fro in a much efficient manner, I'm saying that is a good place to start. The duty-free and the bus fare and all these things will come after, but what government needs to do immediately is to address the issue of demand and supply.
But wouldn't that call for, assuming that that was the idea, wouldn't that call for a whole re-look in the way that PSV people are hired and paid, certainly paid? Because as far as my understanding is, they're not paid on a weekly basis. They're paid according to a percentage of the passengers that they bring in, or the money they bring
So the PSV, the privately owned PSVs, over the last 40 years have always been paid based on an incentive schedule. It is either they're either paid based on the takings that they collect, or they are paid on what you call a lease, where the driver is expected to pay the cost of the fuel minus his cost of operating the vehicle, and then then paying the rest. So essentially, the transport board now pays their drivers on a totally different schedule. They pay their drivers on a weekly basis. That is why they require such a large subsidy, because they operate, number one, what we call a scheduled service. And the scheduled service leans towards the thinking that if the bus left town with three people and it's going to corner town St. Lucie, if it only get them three people, it got to carry them. The private sector cannot afford to carry the three people from Bridgetown to corner town at the same rate, because obviously, the way the structure is concerned, the subsidized structure could finance that. But the private sector does not have the convenience of a subsidy.
But that's the point I'm making. Sorry to cross you.
Therefore, I'm saying if the government wants the structure to change in terms of how the PSVs are paid, it would mean that they then would have to finance the aspect of the scheduled service, and the scheduled service is not cheap. So scheduled service tells me I got to drive from town to St. Lucie empty, whether I get people or not. And who from the private sector would guarantee doing that? I mean, the private sector has been financing transport for years now, because when we carry people at $2 and we know that's not the true cost, essentially we are we have been subsidizing transport. And I just want to just say two things. I want to urge the operators, the ones that driving these buses, to take the time and be careful out there transporting the passengers. That's on one hand. But at the same time, I want to compliment the industry for being the most loyal entity in Barbados. You got 60 transport board buses out there driving about. You got 700 PSVs out there trying to get the people to and fro. If these fellas had to come off the road and withdraw this service, the country would have shut down ever since. So these fellas have been loyal.
All right, but of course you are, Mr. Lee, of course, but you're pushing their agenda, and that's and that you're for them. But the whole point about it is, if we're looking at from a national agenda, and we are talking cost is a problem, I really think that the issue here for us, or certainly for me, that I'm looking at, is that we need to have the transport authority in place in terms of looking at scheduling a merge, scheduling services on an ongoing basis. It, of course, it calls for much more discussion than we can have here, but I want to thank you for taking the time and for taking our call, and we will talk about this later, okay? Yep. We'll take a commercial break at this point. Welcome back to Getting Down to Brass Tacks. We go straight to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning, Brother Sanger.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Not as well as you, but I'm
waiting. I hear a smile in your voice, man.
Why I got a smile? You know why smiling?
You tell me.
You can imagine that some of these Democratic Labour Party supporters telling about the message that bus fare going to $5, where they can get the money to do this and that. For them, we ain't living, all we live in Barbados. For some, we ain't living in Germany, we live in Barbados. Whatever happened to this country happened to every one of us. B, D, C, M, Q, R, R. And they're gloating and carrying on. They can't do this, they can't do the next, they can't do the third. Why? You can tell me why?
Well, first of all, I want to make this point again. I want to make this point really again. This is a report that was commissioned by Minister of Finance Chris Sinclair, and it was done by the IMF, and it was prepared since last year. That's the first thing. And in that report, the commission, the IMF said that the bus fares, recommended that the bus fares should be increased because of the manner in which the transport board is run. In fact, they recommend a total overhaul of the operations of the transport board. So the discussion really is not that, should be not that the bus fares are rising. It should really center around how are we going to overhaul the transport board, and how are we going to include the PSVs? It's like what I've been discussing here with David off the air just now, David and Dennis. The fact about the matter is that we have enough units in terms of the minibuses and ZRs, along with the transport board buses, the few that they are, that are enough, that are sufficient to carry all the commuters in Barbados. But we need to schedule the service. So in other words, instead of they're operating, this is the PSVs operating as totally independent, they should be part of a whole national service. But there's a cost for that, and the devil is always in the details. The details would have to be worked out. How those guys are paid, for example, that's when I raised that point with Morris Lee. But maybe that would have to change as well. So we would have to look at it. But the point about it is that that could be one of the cost-effective approaches that can be taken to deal with this transportation problem. But I want to emphasize, I want to reiterate as well, that this is just a report. This was prepared way back last year, and it is not that it is coming into effect, okay?
Yeah, sir. One more thing now before we go.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what I put this last election victory for the Barbados Labour Party as?
Tell me.
My father got some children, and the daughters, they like him, he ain't telling them nothing. But when I want to get killed or get going court, I hear that he was a good boy. You can sum it up, sort of?
I wouldn't put it just like that, but I understand where you're coming from.
The daughters are liking the boy, tell them nothing. Mm-hmm. So, whatever happened to them, happened to them. Thank you, Lord Sanctimon.
All right, my man. Have a good day. This is Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. Sacrificing, I got some complaints here, I think it was last week, about you and Mr. Dave Ellis. And you know, I tell you all, I have to re-examine you also, how you all moderate your program, because some people are in disgust in your approach. And I draw an example to you. You bring a Trinidadian commerce lady here all the time. Sometimes she comes there, sometimes she talks to you over the phone. And she has all these brilliant ideas, and she always made reference to Jamaica and Grenada. And she told that the unemployment rate in Jamaica, I think, is between 7 to 9%. I can't remember the exact figure. And that the growth is about 4% growth in Jamaica. But the point is that she don't relate to, or she always seems to be, in a clever way, don't tell the people about this, that one U.S. dollar is equivalent to 130 Jamaican dollars. And this is June, and and for this period so far this year, there have over 450 murders in Jamaica. Now, let's relate it to what you're talking about. It seems to me that you and this Jamaican woman, Trinidad economist, and the MLS is living, and the economists of the Barbados their party, they're living in a city. Imagine living in a city and the walls are made of glass, by transparent glass. So you all can look through the glass at who is passing there or the city below. But people are passing, but you cannot look in. But they say in your city there's problems. But you're looking over now at a smaller city, and you are correcting problems in the smaller city and can't get yours correct. That's the first thing. The second thing is that whenever you come again, you always bring these imaginary things. And you know, in chemistry, where you're doing a reaction, what goes on the left hand side goes back to the right. And all the time you're talking, you always get the equation balance wrong. Do you want to reply to what you said so far, sir?
Oh, I intend to reply. I will pass with my boss first, and then I will deal with you.
I don't understand what I need to respond to, because it's so general and vague. I wouldn't even press this guy by asking him to be more expansive on the point. You know, you have your point of view. Don't worry with it. Don't waste our time and yours by trying to deal with that in any detail. Just accept it and move on. The truth of the matter is, we cannot please everyone. And the beauty about this type of project is that it will only survive if we stimulate ideas and stimulate people to think not the way that we think, but to bring that divergence of perspective to the table. And that is to be encouraged. So I don't run away from that at all. Not at all. So there are many positions that I may take that you may not agree with. And the real importance of it is that you must be able to come here and say, look, I don't agree with you, and this is the reason why. You understand?
Brass Tacks, good morning.
A blessed good morning to you, Sanka. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
This is the man you call agriculture.
Yes, sir.
Among other things. I only call you Mr. Agriculture alone.
Well, just call me Mr. Ellis, because you seem to know more about me than I know myself. So let me hear from you early before I make my contribution.
You're looking for me to get mischievous?
No, I am good. I'll get it this
You're looking
morning.
For me to be mischievous. You go on. Talk.
No, you see, the thing is, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
I am a man that is back broad.
Me
I
too.
I see the Prime Minister get lambasted, and she did not respond to a single negativity that was sent
She learned from you?
I know she, yes.
She learned from you?
She learned from
me. Took a leaf out of your book?
Not only one leaf. A whole book. Every leaf get ripped out. Every leaf gone, Mr. Ellis. Thank you. How are you, my brother?
I'm well.
Let me speak to a man that is a new moderator and have not given me a lot of trouble over the years.
Yes.
This is years now that I have been batting on brass tacks. And all who know me knows me. And who don't know me, that is a matter for them.
We're so real happy now, though.
But when you walk, man, Mr. Ellis, you're the joke of everybody, you know. Tell us he loves in Barbados. First female prime minister. I beat a sitting prime minister and lick you out. I get St. John for the first time. What Because it's supposed to do today.
You know, it is said, to whom much is given, much is expected.
But you always coming with that too, you know. You always coming with that. Today is only 2 weeks of the new administration.
That's true.
And I want you to give them a fair opportunity to get off the ground running, settle down, and do their work. Yesterday, they sat with the IMF. They had the discussions. I got a lot of response from my candidate, Ryan Straw, because he's in that area, saying what the discussion was all about, what they're going to do, the decisions that they're going to make. I have to read it more in depth and take a good look at it before I make an assumption of it. So for now, you know you will get the critics. You know you will get the critics. And that farmer caller, let me tell you something. Every day he was up at CBC Lab, basically you, Sanka, everybody, my prime minister. So they're going to come every day now, because you know why? Them swinging on a tin limb, and the limb has already broken. And to put it back with some Yoohoo glue and it can break off again.
I thank them very much for the promotion.
For 10 years,
that was free promotion that we were getting.